Beautiful day it is today.
And you know what happens to us? We see it at 6:30 in the morning and we see it again at 10:30 at night. And we're locked in there all day, so you can see we're narrow thinkers. Well, some of us. I better qualify that.
Not the complaining.
And not always as light as this.
But some of us are a bit biased. Anyway, welcome to the Primary Reduction Select Committee. I will get them to whip around the table and introduce themselves, but that, I guess that for us this is a very interesting and complicated topic. And so thank you for coming to present to your submission. But before I do, I'll just whip around the table. Richard, we'll start with you.
Thank you, Chair. Richard Crosser, New Zealand First, based in Rangiora.
Stephen Browning, Green Party, List MP, based in the Blenheim area, Marlborough area.
Kia ora, welcome. Reno Tiri Kathne, Labour MP for Te Tai Tonga.
Kia ora, Damien O'Connor, for West Coast Tasman, Labour.
Ian McKelvey, National Rangatiri.
Good morning, I'm Chester Burrows, Member of Parliament for Whanganui.
Morning, Barbara Kuriga, National Taranaki King Country.
Hello. Todd Barclay, National Party, Clutha Southland.
Very nice.
So I think you've got a time set down, Tanya. We'll try to stick to that time. Obviously, it's an interesting topic, so you go. The floor is yours. And obviously, the stuff you've given us will be read, so you can take it that's been read, and you just need to make your points as best you can.
Thank you.
And go from there.
I do have all quite a few of the documents that we do have with us, if wanting need to be viewed or anything, need to ask or any of the other questions. We do have the documents with us. I will read this, proceed to read this, if that's okay with you. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Do I stand for this or do I?
You like the floor.
I may be seated.
The floor is yours and the place is yours. You
okay.
Can sit there and feel free. It's your own place.
Okay.
It is for a minute.
All right, well, I actually wouldn't mind if I just sat and I could read through this. It's
absolutely
take about five
absolutely
or
fine.
Or so minutes, 10 minutes maybe. Depends on, yes. Members of the Select Committee, thank you for this opportunity to provide an overview of our research and discuss the petition regarding an illegal bankruptcy that was tabled in Parliament on the 6th day of September 2016 by New Zealand First Party member Mr. Fletcher Tapitope. My name is Tanya Peterson and I am here today on behalf of my 98-year-old father, Noel William Peterson, and my grandfather, William Magnus Peterson. The evidence we have submitted to you for viewing is a sample of what we have with us today. Documents supporting and strengthening our petition are available and can be provided on request. Over the past 8 years, my researcher Wayne Duggan and myself have dedicated thousands of hours researching and identifying information held in documents from archives to Hansard, showing how treasonous activities took place between the government and various people and businesses which impacted on returned servicemen, allocated soldiers' settlement land under the Contract of the Discharged Soldiers' Settlement Act of 1915. We seek to redress of these grievances that affected not only my family, but many New Zealanders who also served offshore as our forefathers did before them. They sought to protect our shores and our country for the freedom we enjoy today. This petition concerns my father, Mr. William Magnus Peterson, holder of soldiers' land through ballot and the government disallowing the fulfilment of his contract under Section 6 of the Discharged Soldiers' Settlement Act of 1915. The forfeiture of family's land subsequently led to an illegal bankruptcy. The laws for the Discharged Soldiers' Settlement Act of 1915 were put in place to protect our returned servicemen from ruthless speculators as per the arbitration law of 1912-1913 This has also been recorded in the Hansard debates of 1914. The government introduced amendments to the Discharged Soldiers Settlement Act of 1915, and our research has revealed that activities were undertaken prior to the amendments being brought into law, suggesting an attempt was made to justify what amounts to treasonous actions against the King's representatives. Certain land laws and amendments pertaining to sections and land blocks were changed under the Discharged Soldiers Settlement Act of 1915. This was motivated purely by greed. Evidence presented shows a series of events and decisions affecting my grandparents and my father from the 1920s. These actions being contrary to the small amounts, contrary to the Discharged Soldiers Settlement Act of 1915, were taken under subsequent acts that were given precedence over the original 1915 Act and should not have been applied with respect to my grandparents' circumstances over land and native forests they received by right through ballot. These amendments passed by Parliament disadvantaged the returned servicemen, my grandfather and others, and provided financial gain for people who were not involved in active service. Our concern is with respect to World War I servicemen and how people in positions of influence manipulated laws and the government of the day. The Discharged Soldiers Settlement Act was only for returned servicemen who had served in the expeditionary forces. This act was not for civilians to forecast forfeitures on soldiers' estates and take advantage of the soldiers who were also without proper legal representation. An injustice of considerable magnitude was perpetrated on my grandfather by persons with authority who could and did advantage themselves by way of land holding and or possession of milling rights of native forests on that land. This was made worse with the removal of royalties from timber and the dropping of land boundaries. Small amounts of overdraft or debt were often used as reasons for exercising distress notices, which saw land and holdings change ownership while still under the deed with His Majesty the King, his heirs and successors. Disturbing is the manner upon which attempts are being made to have the actions of those responsible made valid, with a judicial view suggesting how the Discharged Soldiers Settlement Act of 1915 should have been applied retrospectively. Our petition does not seek retrospective application of any act. It simply requests that the conditions and law as per the Discharged Soldiers Settlement Act of 1915, which the government accepted, be applied. Basically, to have the principle and protection which had been granted to returned servicemen upon their signing to serve at the time be upheld. The duty of the government of the day was to honour the Discharged Soldiers Settlement Act of 1915 in the manner each serviceman assigned oneself to serve and to honour his king and country. Our servicemen did just that. Actions by others in positions of authority subsequently affected the livelihood of our returned servicemen, including my grandfather's family, and these grievances need to be seriously addressed with respect to the Discharged Soldiers Settlement Act of 1915. The circumstances of the recent judicial review should be seen as belatedly trying to justify the misappropriation of property, land and native forest by those largely responsible for these injustices. Most involved in this case involving my grandparents' forfeiture of land and forest were in positions where they could influence decisions and actions to obtain a result for their collective or personal gain. In this case, we question the legality of the action taken to possess our family's holdings of land, forest, and rivers, to retrospectively justify the actions taken as the recent judicial review attempts is to acknowledge misappropriation of said land, forests and rivers. Acts brought into the past by Parliament do not take precedence over acts already sent by Parliament and been applied, nor do decisions belatedly announced 100 years later to modify interpretation of how the Act was applied by government representatives at the time. This is a variance with clauses and stated requirements for the Discharged Soldiers Settlement Act of 1915. We have identified a number of requests for help from my grandparents to ensure success were withheld. This led to the illegal bankruptcy of their estate. They were effectively held to ransom for grass seed. The sum of £33 came into force later and was used again under duress to force an illegal bankruptcy. The property was sold to a civilian for one third of the price, who was also given extra privileges to assist. This goes against all the rights of my ancestors who sacrificed their lives for king and country. These were treasonous acts that took place upon our soldiers and our king. As this is returned soldiers' bloodland, I know you will do right with respect and dignity towards my grandparents, my father, his family for future generations on soldiers' land. We conclude from all our research, the government needs to put a caveat over Crown holdings, native lands, rivers and forestry, and to investigate the Discharged Soldiers Settlement accounts, starting with my family's estate. Presently, government needs to fulfil the original contract, compensate the present occupiers and return the land to my father, who is next of kin and in his 98th year. We seek justice on my father's behalf by way of compensation for the illegal milling of all virgin native forestry, taking into the account the loss of productivity over the last 89 years. Given the background of this petition, any Crown lawyers who work on this petition on our behalf will have information provided to enable them to become conversant with all aspects of this claim. A wrong does not become a right, nor a lie become truth just because it is accepted by the majority, lest we forget.
Thank you, Pan. Is this the first time you've been before a select committee?
Correct.
You do pretty well.
Thank you.
A couple of other things I just want to comment on before we get on to questions. But
yes.
You're going to be here for a fair while yet, aren't you? Yes. By the looks of the dates of birth and death of your father and grandfather.
Yes.
So we better look after you, because otherwise you'll be back before us again. Anyway, are there any questions?
I guess it's something that iwi Māori could probably relate to,
yes,
given the wheelings and dealings. It doesn't surprise us. This was all before the first Labor government came into being.
Only just.
Every opportunity.
Actually, it was before the Labor government.
And I have to say, I never trust anyone from Auckland, anyway. And it is a sad tale, I guess, of you know, what can happen around the kind of halls of power if we don't keep an eye on it. I'm not sure how we go back and rectify, but, I mean, the case is before us, and I think we'll kick it around. So, I mean, I appreciate all the work you've done here, and maybe using the experience of iwi, we might find a pathway forward. It's not, I don't know of an obvious one myself, but thank you for it. It's been really interesting, if not sad.
Definitely.
Yeah, I had a good read through the chronology there. So I've got a couple of, more than one question. I see it very, very well researched, and I take my hat off to you for that. I'm wondering whether you've been able to connect with other soldiers or families that were, because you mentioned in there that there are other people treated in a similar way,
yeah,
for some of the grievances, because it's actually a sequence of
how is that is going to with my family, how are you going to, because there, of course there are over 4,000.
No, I'm not saying it adds weight, takes weight off or anything like that. I'm just pure objective question as to whether, because I think it's great that you've done the research and here you are, it's all very good. I'm just thinking that would there be others that we should be being brought to our attention that would even make it easier for you?
Not as far as individual you're referring to.
Yeah.
I do have paperwork on other families, but I have not investigated directly to them. And besides that, it is very difficult to get hold. They've moved, died. Yes.
Yeah, but it would be a shockingly laborious task if you were to try and track.
And this,
I'm just wondering.
Yes, and with this one making it very clear and making the documents available will actually prove, anyway, beyond reasonable doubt. But this is all of New Zealand. This is having to readdress and open it up for all of New Zealand soldiers, not...
In terms of your family's situation,
yes,
and where, in a way, the first problem started to show, which was reasonably early historically. It was, if I've got it right, it was when William was not given financial assistance.
1921?
Yeah, and where others were,
correct,
and for some reason he was turned down.
Correct.
And maybe others were that we're not aware of. But have you got any idea what the context or reason might have been that they decided to, I'll use a, might not be the right word, but snub him or whatever?
Oh, I do have a good reason why they would have.
Yeah.
And that's because of great value that was actually on the estate. On,
so there was, you think that was an intent already to put the pressure on the squeeze?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because it was the gateway into the Purewera Forest,
uh-huh,
they needed that block to actually get through to the other blocks. Plus it had plenty of water supply, and they needed the water for the mills.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And to be able to get through, they needed his property. But my family had already cleared their land. They were experienced farmers.
Mm-hmm.
They need not regarding, all they were seeking for was grass seed and fencing. They were not asking for any other assistance.
Mm-hmm.
And with this, they had already been established.
Richard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for that. I don't have a magic bullet either. I'd just like to reiterate what Damien has said. That on the face of it, it seems as though, yes, a wrong has been done, and yes, you've got a legitimate gripe. The question is, what do we do about it from here? And what's the best themselves to the rest of the machinery of government. I think the analogy drawn with the experience of Mary is probably quite valid. Realistically, we know that sort of process doesn't happen quickly, and this may well be the beginning of it. But just touching on something that Stephen mentioned about other people in similar situations, I think perhaps what he may have been motivated by was the fact that many voices make more noise and more likely to get heard.
Oh, so they say.
That could accelerate the process.
So they say. Yeah. But just one person can just stand up, and I tell you, it does not mean like we have to go in as a collective.
No, I'm not saying that.
No.
But, more squeaking, the more likely the wheels to get oil.
Well, you're the ones. I mean,
I suppose the point is that if you're in that situation, there's probably others as well.
Yeah.
And whatever we
there
do,
is,
if we can
there
do
is.
Anything, then we're going to take that into consideration. I suppose it's the essence of those questions.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
But it doesn't reduce your
No,
and it should not.
Any more questions?
Well, Tessa, thanks very much. I found it fascinating to listen to the history, and I think what we as a committee can do is to go to the Ministry of Justice, give them the papers that you've given us, and get them to investigate whatever remedy there might be available. And that could be... It could be anything, really. So, and it could be if the government can do anything it wants to do.
That showed, didn't it? Even breaking the laws and the acts, yes, it showed they can.
The other way too, but it may not mean the return of the land, or it may not mean it could mean some sort of gratia payment, which would never come to be the value of the loss or anything like that. Or it could be an acknowledgement that they acted badly. Who knows? But I think what we need to be able to do initially is to ask the Ministry of Justice to investigate it and give us some advice on where we can go from here. So the committee is not really in a position to sort of make promises, but we can give you an undertaking that we treat it seriously. We can see the injustice and the inequity in what you've provided for us, and we'll see what we can do.
Yes, that's Amy Adams, Minister of Justice. She is very much aware of this.
No, I mean the ministry.
The ministry.
We won't go to the ministry.
No, okay, the ministry. Sorry, I didn't quite hear.
So in other words, the Ministry of Justice has got the job of overseeing lands, and so it also is what runs the Waitangi Tribunal and the Maryland Court and those things. So they've got access to all the novel processes of fixing things historically, such as this, like as Damien said, the precedents that have been set along settling treaty breaches. This is very similar.
Oh. It is a treaty, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a soldiers' treaty.
Yeah. So that's different. Yeah. What I'm saying is, we can't tell you what the remedy is likely to be, but we can tell you that we'll treat it seriously. We'll have it investigated. And we'll
I
get
hope
back
so.
To it.
Time frame.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes, and the time frame for all this would be?
Could be quite a long time. It won't be overnight. It'll take quite some time. I think Tess has summed it up pretty well, really. So that we will go and ask for further advice. Now, that could take months, because this ain't simple. This is a 100-year issue, not a 5-year.
I would like my father to see this.
Yes.
Just remember,
well,
he's
sure
90.
Like him to
he's 98.
I know that, but I can tell by the look of you, you're going to last for a long time, so is he. But I think the point is that we've got no idea what might come of this, because you just
all
presented
right.
to us. We'll take the evidence you've presented, and we'll ask further advice.
So all we can say today, we'll ask for that advice. They'll come back to us, and that might be. We've only got 3 more meetings, probably before the end of the year. So hopefully it'll be before Christmas, or it'll be early in the new year, and then they'll. They'll come back and tell us what our options are and what others have done in similar circumstances and all those sorts of things. So they'll get back to you probably, or you'll get some idea of the pathway early in the new year.
February. All right.
From us.
From you.
Okay, so
Can I just, I'm geographically challenged because I'm a top of the South Island. And I noticed,
that's all right.
Geographically, not indicated. Where in what forest was it that you were saying that it was the...
In the King Country.
It's in the King Country.
It is in the King Country.
Yeah,
you're in the South Island.
Yeah, top of the South.
Okay. Did you actually receive one of the letters from one South Islander that was in the same situation as my grandfather?
I'm not recalling that I have, but I'm saying that I haven't.
All right, well, did we send it? Yes, we did. So it would be actually amongst those 53 pages that I would have sent. And that was narrowing it down so you could simplify it.
Was it sent to the Member of Parliament for the area or just...
No, it was sent to the Prime Minister at that time, Forbes. Yes, that's a sad event as well. So that was for a South Islander. So that's been giving you a rough idea throughout New Zealand.
Yeah.
It was happening not in one particular area, but throughout the whole of New Zealand.
Right, so I think that...
thank you.
Yeah, good one, Stephen. So thank you. And thank you for bringing your team along. Thank you for providing us with the evidence. And thank you for taking the time to come all the way down to Wellington to talk to us.
Okay, thank you.
And just for Stephen's benefit, the piece of land that this is discussing is actually at Barbara's electorate, but I can throw a rock at it from mine. Yeah. So my by-electorate almost goes to the Waimea Ha Stream, so it's very much in the same place. So
well, thank you.
Both of us would know the road that it's on.
Yeah, and thank you for a comprehensive presentation because, you know, that you've brought us substantial information.
Thank you for the time.
Right. Have a nice drive home.
Yes, we will, and such a beautiful day.
It is.
Yeah, we will.
Up in Sanson for Smoko and Bulls for a coffee.
When
you get to Taumanui, you're on your way out. No, you
won't
go that way.
I was born in Taumanui. So there you go.
I could have
backed up. You could have. Mind you, I was educated here in Wellington, so there you go.
Yeah, so that's very good. Anyway, thank you for coming. That's
you're very welcome.
We'll
and
get
thank
on
you.
With our job.
Thank you.
And look forward to hearing from you, hopefully, in the new year.
Okay, sounds good. Yes, thank you. Can you still call it smoker, Mr. Chair, or is that not politically correct anymore? Can you still call it smoker, or is that not politically correct?